guess what? My eyes fall on this butter called plant.
Man, I really like the looks of that female.
That is not a 6-inch clit. Well, we all know how that worked out for me.
Monroe has things he cares about. Monroe is a very productive citizen in society today.
I had to change myself and start loving myself. Man, I did that and started going to church and just working hard, dude, and everything's changed. Brett, when I was doing drugs, dude, when I was addicted, bro, I hated myself. And once you fall into that pit where you hate yourself, you don't care what anybody else thinks. You got to love yourself, man, and you got to find something that you love maybe to make you love yourself.
don't think I didn't see that message, man. Look, hey, man, how about help me out with some crypto?
I don't want a haunted house.
That man's turned his life around. He's living a good damn life. If you want to know if you can turn your life around, if you want to know if you can do the right goddamn thing, you don't need to look any further than Monroe Myers.
Johnson, former United States most wanted cyber criminal, now good guy, and host of the Brett Johnson Show. On today's episode, guess what? I gotta tell you, I am happier than a pig in pig shit. I'm talking to Monroe Myers once again. I absolutely love that man. Why am I talking to him? Because he's outstanding. That's why I'm talking to him. Before we get there, though, you know, we've got a couple of segments we've got to cover. We've got to bitch, moan, and complain about some stuff. We got to talk about some stuff from the headlines. And we've got to do the art of accountability. Before I get there, let me point out that I'm wearing another Rain Spooner shirt today. Yes, I'm trying like hell to make sure that Rain Spooner notices me and sends me some free shirts because these motherfuckers are expensive. This one is the South Park shirt. That's right, hidey-ho motherfuckers. Now, before we go any further, let's bitch, moan, and complain about something.
I hate them all.
They ain't no f***ing way. You don't want to hear about this bullshit. Bitch, moan, and complain. You are full of poo.
All right, on today's bitch, moaning, and complaining segment. So here's the thing. There's more than enough stuff on this planet, actually every single day, sometimes every single hour, that I can bitch, moan, and complain about. I say that because what I do on the show notes, before we do this show, I'll sit down and I'll actually think about some stuff that Brady, me, would like to complain about, and I'll send it over to Shayna, and probably she looks at it and says, what is this motherfucker going to talk about today? That said, there's something I want to add to that today. I was over at Publix just a few minutes ago. For those people who are not in the South, Publix is a grocery store that likes to be very fucking expensive. I tend to only go in there because for bread and stuff like that. When I say expensive, it's about 30% higher than Walmart. It's the same shit. It's the same chickens. It's the same cows that they're killing. But I go in there. And while I'm in there, I'm walking down the aisle. I walk past the dairy aisle and I make the mistake of glancing at the butter. And as soon as I glance on the butter, my eyes fall on this butter called plant butter. Let me tell you something. There's no such thing as plant butter. Butter comes from moo cow fuck milk. All right, that's where butter comes from. Plant butter does not exist. You can't get butter from a plant. That is not really what I'm wanting to bitch about today. What I'm wanting to bitch about today, Brian, we have a movie poster here for a film titled The American Society of Magical... Now, I say because I am a white man and I cannot say that word. If I say that word, I will get my ass canceled. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, I watched the trailer for this. The trailer is not bad. The trailer is about these magical that their entire job, it's like Harry Potter, but their entire magic is about making white people uncomfortable. I got to tell you, Someone like me, I can't go see that movie because what am I supposed to say when I walk up to the ticket counter and ask for a ticket? I can't say that word. More than that, if I were to pre-buy my tickets, I live in Birmingham, Alabama. The population is over 50% African-American. The chances of the person behind the counter taking the tickets being African-American is pretty good. What's going to happen when I hand that ticket stub to them and it says the American Society of Magical? They're going to look at me fucking funny. They're going to look at me like I'm a piece of shit. So I can't see that. I can't see that. Now, when I was thinking about this, it occurred to me, films like Blazing Saddles, all right, where you've got Gabby Johnson as the sheriff, Lamar Headley, Heady.
It's not Heady, it's Headley, Headley Lamar.
Whatever his fucking name is, as he is riding into the town. And Gabby Johnson is on top of the roof looking out for the sheriff, and he sees the sheriff. The town is down there having a parade. They've got the band playing and everything else, and Gabby tries to tell the town what's going on because the town is sparkling white. Gabby yells at them,
"Hey, the sheriff is a nick."
Someone down in the town says,
"What are you saying? The sheriff is near."
And Gabby says, "No, Gabby.
The sheriff is a nick."
Of course, the sheriff rolls into town. The music ceases immediately. They've got this welcome sign there. They pull that. The sign disappears. And it's a hell of a fun film for those who don't know. There's another scene where Mel Brooks, I guess he's the governor, and the sheriff is there. The African-American sheriff is there. And he didn't know the sheriff was black. So he thinks he's got his henchman there, Harvey Korman. He thinks he's got his henchman there, and he...
"Have you gone berserk? Can't you see that that man is a nit?"
And he stops right there. He's like, "Excuse me." He walks in back, grabs Hedy Lamar. He says, "Are you crazy? Can't you tell that sheriff is a nit?" It kind of upsets me that there are films like that, that I've got to say, I would go and see this film. I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes score. It's not great. Now, if you want a good film, a good, good film, I did watch The Blackening. It's a horror comedy, and it is absolutely amazing. I laughed my ass off all the way through that. Just between me and you, I did download the American Society of Magical, right? Because I can't buy a ticket. Because I don't really want to pay to stream it because the Rotten Tomatoes score sucks. So I downloaded it. I will update on what that is. Now, that is not the only thing I want to complain about today. What I also want to complain about, I read this article about this transgender runner that it was in New York. Now, they call them CIS females. I'm going to say just females. This transgender runner was competing against females. And the transgender beat the ever-loving shit out of them in a track, running, to the tune of setting or breaking 2 New York track records. All right? Now, here's the thing. I really don't give a shit what you want to refer to yourself as. I don't. Typically, I will, even if you are, transgender and you want me to refer to you as a her when I know that you're a he, or you want me to refer to you as a he when I know that you're a her, I will tend to do that. That doesn't mean I believe that bullshit. Okay? It's not. It's not like the crying game where everything's going to work out fine. It's not. All right? Here's what's going to happen. You want to know what's going to happen? We're going down this transgender route so much that one of these fucking days, we're going to get one of these people on eHarmony or Plenty of Fish or some bullshit like that. And they're going to look like a female, but they're not. And then some guy is going to say, "Man, I really like the looks of that female." And they're going to start talking. And they're going to develop a relationship. And then they're going to start dating. And then after a while, it's going to get to the part where, "I think I want to take her to bed. She is so hot." So he's going to take her to bed. And then is the crying game moment. And let me tell you, that is not a 6-inch clit. What happens then? You're going to get somebody hurt. And then what's going to happen? Then they're going to scream that this guy, he was a bigot. He was just homophobic. He's not homophobic. He was not expecting a 6-inch clit. That wasn't. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. You know what? This sports shit. I watched this video on YouTube of this guy who was identifying as a female, and he steps into the octagon. That's right, UFC against a female. And guess what the fuck happened? He literally broke the female's face. All right? He broke her face. We got to have some degree of common sense in this nation. And I've got to tell you, it looks like we friggin' don't. Now, that's not the only thing I want to complain about today. Let's talk about the Cybertruck. Why? Because Elon Musk, in his infinite wisdom, continues to not only drive Twitter in the fucking dirt, but it looks like Tesla is quickly following suit. And I got to tell you, those who have listened to me, you know I am not an electric car fan. I am not. I like a big, powerful V8. That's what I like. Something that rumbles. Something that I can put gasoline in. Something that if I get into a police chase, I don't have to worry about the battery fucking dying. Not that I'm saying I'm going to get in a police chase, but you guys know my history. You know what has happened. Turns out that the Cybertruck has a few fatal flaws. They've stopped deliveries of the goddamn thing. Why? Well, turns out it will accelerate at full force without someone having to put down the pedal. It also turns out that there are people who drive the thing on the highway. They don't hit the brakes, but by God, it stops suddenly just to be, you know, Teslas. Headlines. What am I going to talk about today? I got to tell you, I could talk about Iran attacking Israel. No, fuck no, not going to do that. We're going to do that tomorrow when I record this week's Criminal Thoughts episode. So what else am I going to talk about? I could talk about the Civil War film. I saw that. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. The problem is that it is extremely, and I mean it is extremely light on plot. Like, it's not there. I'm not going to talk about that either. What I am going to talk about, I have been watching the news. Donald Trump, President Trump, is currently on trial for the hush money thing. You know, he paid a porn star to keep her mouth shut. Now, here's the thing. I'm not sure. It's not that I don't like. I don't like anybody. All right. I'm an equal opportunity hater. But the thing is, I don't understand why he thought that he could pay a porn star to keep her mouth shut, where her entire life has been getting paid to make sure she keeps her fucking mouth open. I'm just saying that if anything, he should have used the money to make sure that things were being put into her mouth so that she couldn't fucking talk at that point in time. That would have probably been more successful. Let's be honest. And I mentioned this shit on my Twitter account yesterday. Let's be honest. Because nobody else wants to talk about this except for the conservatives. And they can be a little fucking nutty sometimes. But anybody that thinks that Donald Trump is not being targeted, I'm not sure what flavor of fucking Kool-Aid you are drinking. It's probably the Jim Jones Red. All right, on today's Art of Accountability segment, and you can tell that today's episode is a high energy episode. And why is it a high energy episode? Because, again, I am beyond ecstatic to be talking to Monroe Myers. Before I get there, Art of Accountability. When you leave prison, or when I left prison, federal prison, they brought us all in for these exit classes. And they sit your little happy ass down because you're getting out. And they tell you everything's going to be all right. You need to come up with a budget. What are you going to do? What kind of job you're going to get? Blah, 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 blah. Then they make this statement. You know, if you find yourself a job and find yourself something you care about, you probably won't recidivate. Well, we all know how that shit worked out for me. Could not get a fucking job. Could not. went back to prison. The thing that I cared about was my cat, and I love that little fucking cat. Now, I got to say, as much as I love that little fucking cat, I got a dog right now. I didn't really realize that I was a dog man until Daisy came around. Now, Daisy, the rest of the family, they keep telling me that Daisy has a weight problem because she's weighing in at 28 pounds and she's a Chihuahua. I don't think she's got a weight problem. I think she's big boned. She's got a bit of a thyroid problem, something like that. What I'm getting at, though, because I'm talking to Monroe Myers today. Monroe served some time. And Monroe is, I don't think that Monroe will ever go back to prison. I don't. But Monroe has a good job. Monroe has things he cares about. Monroe is a very productive citizen in society today. And I wanted to bring Monroe. We've talked to Monroe before, and the past episode with Monroe, I had a blast doing that. It was basically a bullshitting sit down conversation for about 35 minutes, and it was great. It was truly great. I wanted to talk to Monroe today to talk about, you know, his life post release, what keeps him out of prison, because we're doing the Brett Johnson Show, and you know, the Brett Johnson Show now is how people turn their lives around, how people become better people overall. And Monroe, I truly believe that Monroe is a picture portrait of that. So without further ado, let's talk to Monroe Myers. Monroe, how you doing?
What's up, Brett?
Dude, not much. How's the job going, man?
Oh, it's lovely. It's lovely. I'll probably retire when I'm about 80.
About 80. For those who didn't watch the show before, what are you doing for a living right now?
I'm a crane service tech. Build and service pedestal cranes.
Pedestal cranes. And from what I understand, you do pretty damn well at that.
I'm not doing bad. I mean, it's right. April, what, fourth month of the year, and I done made $45,000 this year, so.
You're doing pretty damn good, man. Let's be honest,
I'm on a track to gross 120 this year. I grossed 90 last year.
See, I love that shit. And not only that, but I follow you on Facebook, and I'm always seeing the restaurants that you're eating at, the steaks that you're eating, the places that you're traveling to. You're doing all right, man.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I just got pre-approved for $350,000 to buy a house. So yes. I'm actually looking right now.
Well, you know, and the last time we talked, you were talking about buying a house within the year. So you're doing all right.
Well, I never in my life thought I'd be in a position to get pre-approved and get my credit score up to over 700 to where I would be in this position, but I finally got it.
You did it. Yeah, so tell me something. I mean, how's life changed for you? So you know, we went through this arc, right? So you went to prison, you've served time.
Yeah.
How has life changed now compared to before you went to prison?
You know, Brett, before I went to prison, when I was using drugs and selling drugs, I didn't have no self-worth. You know, I really didn't like myself, to be honest with you. You know, I guess it was the dogs for me, bro. What I did might not work for everybody. But dude, these dogs changed my life. I didn't love myself, and I got this first dog, and I seen the unconditional way that she loved me. And in order for me to love her back, I had to change myself and start loving myself, you know?
Right.
And, man, I did that and started going to church and just working hard, dude, and everything's changed. Like, I never in my life, I've been a dope addict and 19 years in prison. I never in my life thought I would be in a position to actually get a bank to give me $350,000 to buy a house. You know,
I mean, dude, I got to tell you, man, you have no idea how proud I am of you of that. I mean, I truly am. That speaks volumes. I mean, it truly does. It speaks volumes of how you have turned your life around to get to that point. It really does, man. So you're doing all right. So the dog, were you an animal fan before you came out or not?
I think we hit on this a little bit before. I had a dog last time I went to jail in 2016, and she was in the hotel room with us when I got arrested. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know if somebody adopted her. I don't know if she went to the pound and they put her down. But when I went to jail, that was, man, I missed that dog more than I missed my old lady, more than I missed my freedom, you know, worrying about where she was at, who was taking care of her. And I made myself a promise, dude, that I would never get another dog and put it in that, put myself or the animal in that situation again. And then when I got out and seen my female that I got now, she reminds me a lot of my honey baby that I had before I went to jail. And, man, I got her, and it's just, she changed my life. She really did.
I love that, man. I truly do. So,
but like I said, that might not work for everybody, Brett. You know, it's...
No, you're right. You're right.
If you're in the pits and you're rock bottom and you're doing dope and you're selling dope and, you know, you're trying to recover and you're trying to get your sobriety, you know, you got to love yourself, man. And you got to find something that, you know, something that you love maybe to make you love yourself, you know, because... Right. It's different for everybody. I can't say what worked for me. I can't tell somebody that's getting out of jail, hey man, go get a dog. It's going to change your life. Right. You know, dog might shit all over their floor and they might, you know, it might be totally opposite for them, you know?
Well, I mean, the dog may shit. That's true. So does the dog go with you on your jobs or not, man?
She actually could. My employer would actually book a hotel room, a pet friendly hotel room, if I wanted to take her. But since we talked, I picked up another female, so I actually have two females now. My second one is on a co-own with a guy, and my original female, I just breeded. I breeded her in December. She had puppies February 12th. She had two puppies February 12th, and I'm still trying to get rid of one of the puppies right now. I think I got him sold Saturday. I got to go see a guy about him.
Good.
Got to bring him to see a guy Saturday. But the first one sold for $4,500. I mean, these are show dogs, bro. These dogs, the ABKC show dogs, like fourth or fifth generation pedigree, you know.
I saw the picture of the pup that you put on Facebook, and that was, I mean, that's just a beautiful, beautiful pup right there. It truly is.
Yes, most definitely.
So are you going to keep breeding the dogs or not?
Yeah, this one that I have on a co-own, I have to breed her. She's about to come in the heat. And once I breed her, the guy that I'm co-owning this dog with, he gets pick of the litter. We split all of the stud fee, the vet bills, everything. Then he gets pick of the litter. And when he comes to pick up his pup, I get the paperwork on her and the rest of the litter. So if she has eight pups, you know, he gets one. And I get her paperwork, and I get the paperwork on the other seven pups, and they're going to go for $5,000 apiece.
Dude, you know? That's beautiful. So, and what's the pup's name, the dog's names?
Little Mama is my original one. The co-own we call Sissy, and then the little male that we got, the pup that we still have at the house, we calling him Tank.
Yeah, I talked to Ted Durbin. Ted's got that beautiful pup that he's got over there, and that's what keeps Ted stable as well.
Right.
My question is, so Ted's pup, I say pup, Ted's dog is around Ted all the time, goes wherever Ted goes. You attached to your animals like Ted is with his or not?
Yes. Matter of fact, when I first got my first pup, I wasn't doing crime work. I was at a mechanic shop, and the guy actually let me bring a kennel to work. And for probably the first 7 or 8 months of her life, she was with me 24 hours a day. I mean, she went to work with me. I put her in the kennel in the mechanic shop. I threw her wrenches all day. She sat there and watched me. When it was lunch break, I'd pull her out of the kennel. Me and her would go up to McDonald's or whatever, get something to eat. I'd eat. She'd go back in the kennel. Like, she was with me 24 hours a day. But now I got a live-in girlfriend that's living with me. So, you know, she they pretty much stay home with her now.
Okay.
But somebody's with them all the time. Like, these dogs are never alone.
Good, good. Now, and so you got a live-in girlfriend. Are the animals jealous of the girlfriend? Because my little Daisy, 28-pound chubby-ass chihuahua, she's jealous.
No, they love her just as much as they love me, because she actually probably spends more time with them now than me.
Okay.
And see, that's the little one right there. That's the new one. That's one of the pups.
Oh, man. Now, how old is she?
He's 10 weeks.
10 weeks. And he is absolutely beautiful.
He's getting his little ears cropped next week, but right now he still has floppy wool.
Man, you got me wanting an American Bully now. Swear to God, oh, man, you do, man. That is a beautiful pup right there. That is. I'm gonna have to come to New Louisiana just to play with the pup. That's a fact. Hey, let me ask you something, Monroe. And you said that, you know that, and I agree with you 100% that your path is not something that you can say that everybody can do. You know, finding a dog right. or something like that. So, you know, someone that's getting out of prison, and you know, I didn't serve nearly the time that you did, but I served enough time to get a taste. And the time that I served, you know, I saw the time that I served, most people that I saw that got released, they really believed that they were going to get out and be able to turn their lives around and do things right. And a lot of the time,
it's
just
hard, man. It's with this X on your back, it's hard to get a job. I was honest with every application I filled out and actually put that I was a convicted felon. When I first got out, man, I first started going to AANA. You know, the guy asked me, he's like, can you stay sober for 24 hours? I'm like, man, I just did 19 years in prison. Yeah, I think I can stay sober for 24 hours. And yeah. Hey, bro, that's what I live by, because being a recovering addict, dude, temptations are everywhere, you know?
I mean, dude, but, it
hey,
is.
I can do it right. for 24 hours, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to dive deep into your past problems and stuff like that. But I do want to ask what your drug of choice was back in the day.
It started off as heroin when I was younger. And then this last dose, it actually turned to crystal meth.
Do you know what caused you to start using those drugs? I mean, was it peer pressure? Was it just choice? I mean, what caused you to start using drugs?
I think to start using it, it was just, you know, the fun of being high. It starts off as fun. Everybody likes the high feeling, escape from reality, you know, and then it turns into an addiction. And then it's hard to stop. Once it becomes that physical addiction and that mental addiction, it's like a monkey on your back, and it's hard to get off, you know?
Yeah.
Down here there's drug court and there's all kind of stuff the judges are doing and they sending these guys to. And man, until somebody's actually willing to quit, like deep down in their heart, willing to give it up, I mean you can send these guys wherever you want to send them. If they're not ready, they're not ready, you know. It's something that somebody has to say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want this life.
And that's something I think I think that's very important what you're talking about there, is that you know, you can have family members, you can have friends, you can have even law enforcement to that degree, or whoever it may be. You can have all these people that want to see you do the right damn thing. But unless you actually choose to do that, it'll never work.
Yeah, I mean, until you're ready, bro, you're never going to quit. So it doesn't matter who asks you to quit, who tells you to quit, what judge sends you to rehab or you know, drug court or wherever you send you, if it's not in your heart to stop using drugs and quit, it's not going to happen, you know?
Right. I've seen people, and I continue to see people that get out of prison. They want to change their lives, but they can't get a job. And then they're released to the exact same people, places, and things that they were doing when they got their asses locked up to begin with. So it's like, you know, it's like a recipe for disaster right out of the gate.
Right.
And, you know, with you, I mean, were you released to those same people, places, and things? Or were you released to a different area or what?
No, I was released basically to the same area, same people, places, and things. But I had it on my heart and in my mind, but I wasn't going back to it. You know?
See, that's what I like, because, you know, and I say, you know, I tell people to try to get away from those people, places, and things, but sometimes you can't. But it's that choice that you made.
Right. Even if you can't get away from it, you still have a choice. You have, you know, you got a choice. That's what I was saying, how they say in NAA, man, can you do it for 24 hours? Can you stay sober for 24 hours? I did 19 years in prison. I could do that for 24 hours. You know, I can stand on my head for 24 hours.
Yeah.
If I had to.
Yeah.
And it's a struggle every day because, like you said, Brett, temptation's everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But if it's something you want and it's something you really desire to stay sober and stay clean, then you take it one day at a time.
The way that you're putting things and talking through things it's something that I can't do. All right, I can't. I'm a good talker, but I can't put it the way that you're putting it right now. I would ask, you know, what would you say to people that, you know, maybe they're coming out of prison. Maybe they've not been to prison yet. Maybe they've just not done enough bullshit to get on law enforcement's radar to go to prison. But, you know, these people are, you know, they're going down that path. They're going down that fucking path. What would you say to people that
tell them, bro, you got to love yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Love yourself, believe in God, get in church. I mean, if you don't love yourself, Brett, when I was doing drugs, dude, when I was addicted, bro, I hated myself. And once you fall into that pit where you hate yourself, you don't care what anybody else thinks, you know?
Right.
I try every day, Brett, every day I try to do something a little bit different, bro, to make myself a better person, a better man than I was yesterday.
And that's, you know, I say that same stuff. I try every single day to be better than I was the day before. And sometimes I even succeed, you know, sometimes.
Sometimes you do.
Sometimes. And it feels good, man. It does. It feels good. You mentioned church a couple of times. And recently on my show, I've had the past three or four shows that have talked about the importance of church in some aspect. Would you talk to me a little bit about how church and, you know, that moral compass, the people that are there, how that has helped you turn your life around?
Man, I'm gonna be honest with you. I go to a church that my cousin introduced me to, and I've been in church my whole life, dude. I was raised Catholic. I done been to communion. I did my confirmation. I did all of that when I was younger. My mom used to drag me to church every Sunday. So I've been in and out of a lot of churches my whole life. And probably 2014, maybe 2013, I went to this church with my cousin, and my first time there. And, you know, they did a little prayer call at the end of the church, and they called everybody up to the altar. And this preacher laid his hands on me to pray for me, dude. And I started speaking in tongues.
Okay.
And it actually, Brett, it scared the shit out of me.
Well, yeah.
That was the last time I went to that church. I didn't go back for a good little while because I actually felt something there, and I don't know what I felt.
Right.
And I just started going back to that church a couple months ago with my cousin. And, dude, I love it.
Good, good. Yeah, that's the I've been talking about that recently, too. And what I've said, because I want to be a Christian. I do. But I have trouble with faith. I really do. But I keep trying, man. But what I've been saying on my show is there's truths in the Bible that it doesn't matter whether you believe that or not. Those truths are still there. You know, that if you follow the stuff that's in the Bible talking about the way you should lead your life, treat other people, you love thy neighbor as thyself, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you do that, by God, you're doing all right. You're doing every single thing that you need to do at that point.
Well, you know, they say you get out of this world what you put into it, you know, karma.
Amen.
And I'm a big believer in that also. But like I said, the first time I went to this church with my cousin, this preacher laid his hands on me. I started mumbling something. I couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand it. I don't know where it came from. I mean, I wasn't trying to do it. It just happened, and it actually freaked me out. I stopped going with him for years. Then I went back to prison, and I just started going back with him a couple months ago. And this is actually the only church I've ever been in my whole life, dude, where I actually feel a presence there. You know what I'm saying?
Good. What caused you to go back, Monroe?
I don't know. I think one of the big things that caused me to go back was this guy come bought this first puppy from me. You know, one of my puppies, and he's kind of got my background, you know what I'm saying? In and out of prison, drug addicted, you know, he's been out 12 years now, and he's very successful. Like, he has about 10 or 11 businesses. Nice. And, you know, he's well off. And he's real big. He's real big on the church thing. And me and him got to talking the night that he come picked up the puppies. And he was like, man, he's like, you're doing great. You know, I told him basically everything I told you. He's like, man, you're doing great. He's like, there's only one thing you're still missing. He's like, you need to get right with God. And he told me that, and it kind of started sinking in. Like, you know, maybe I am still missing something.
Well, Monter, I'm going to tell you something. And I say this because I've been told this, and when people tell me this, it makes a difference to me. It really does. But I want you to know, man, that I am absolutely proud of you, and you are a good man. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that. I mean that.
Thank you, Brett.
Yes, sir. Let me ask you. Thank you. I made a post on Twitter and Facebook a couple months back, where I said sometimes I miss prison. You know, the camaraderie there, the you know, the not having to, you have worries in prison, yeah, but you know, you don't have to worry about your bills.
I miss it. I miss it all the time. Prison life's easy for me. Like,
it is.
I've done so much time. There's no responsibility. You know, I don't have to cook. I don't have to pay bills. My meals are brought to me. Like, it's simple, you know?
Ted Durbin referred to this same thing too. There's a truth in prison that's not in the free world. You know, in prison, you have your word. At the end of the day, that's what you've got is your word. And in the free world, you want to call it that, in the free world, people don't really pay much attention to the word. I mean, they'll say something, but whether they're going to follow through with it, it's questionable a lot of the time, you know?
Yeah, 90% of the time.
Yeah. So it's and I don't think that, and I say that because, you know, my listeners, most of them have not been to prison. And unless you understand that, unless you've been in that environment, I don't think that it's that you really get that, you know, at the end of the day, we have our word. We're not going to leave this planet with any of that material bullshit that we've acquired through these years. We're going to leave the world the same way we came in. And it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, educated, uneducated, important, unimportant. At the end of the day, you've got your word. You've got your integrity. And that's one of the things in prison. I know people may have a hard time understanding that, you know, you've got a bunch of criminals there. But even with those criminals there, there's an integrity that is hard to find outside of the fence.
Kind of the old saying, like honor among thieves, you know?
Yeah. Well, Monroe.
It really is.
It is. It really is, man. So, you know, I think you're good to go, man. I mean, I say that, you know, and you know as well as I do. I mean, I think I'm good to go now, but I'm always on point. You know, I know that I'm tempted a lot of the times. I know it'd be easy enough for me to go out and steal a bunch of fucking money. But yeah, I think I'm trying to get you
the Bitcoin thing.
don't think I didn't see that message, man. See, I posted, Brian, I posted that whole thing about, you know, I put in $4,000 and 4 days later it's at $235. Monroe reads that bullshit, sends me a message on Facebook. Hey, man, how about help me out with some crypto? So here's the deal. Here's the deal, man. I let me, because I just got started in this stuff, all right? I don't feel comfortable yet telling people what to do or trying to invest money with that. All right. Give me another month so I know I'm doing all right, because I would hate to tell you to do something and then you lose your ass and I'd be like, I am so sorry. I told you to do that and you lost your fucking money. And then you wouldn't like me anymore. And then you might be getting one of those damn dogs on me. So, I'm just saying. No, but let me get
100% comfortable with your investments. Let me know, and I'm willing to ride with some.
Dude, I really will, and I mean that. I truly do.
I might not even have to take that pre-approved loan out. I might be able to use crypto to buy my house. You know?
Dude, I tell you what, man. I am. I honestly am beyond impressed. That, you know, like I said, the last time we talked, you had mentioned that you wanted to buy a house within a year. Here it is. It's not even been a year, And by God, you're going to be buying a house, man. I mean, that's rolling big time right there.
I'm pre-approved for 350, but I'm trying to stay under 200 because I don't want to have to work till I'm 80 years old to pay this thing off.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to stay under 200. And the real estate agent, all the houses she's sending me, they were built like 50 and 60 years ago. And I'm like, I don't want a haunted house. You know what I'm saying? I'm 46. I don't want to buy a house that's old. I don't want to buy a house that's older than me. You know what I'm saying?
I don't want a house that motherfuckers have died in, and I don't know what room they've died in. I don't want a house where I'm telling how many people have shit in the toilets. I want to be the first shitter in the toilet.
Well, not necessarily the first, because I'm not rich, but I mean, I'll take a house that's 10, 12, 15 years old. I just don't want a house that's 50, 60, 80 years old. I just can't. No, I can't picture myself buying something that's older than me like that, you know?
Well, I tell you, Monroe, the house that we've got, my wife was the only one that was working when we bought it. And so, right. Brett, I couldn't get a fucking job. Could not. So Michelle, she was the only one that was working. And the only house that we could afford was built in 1968. So it's one of those 50-year-old homes that you're talking about. I got to tell you that there are times when it's a nightmare.
From what I heard, bro, with your computer skills, you don't really need a job.
Well, I mean, if I stay legal, I need a job. If I don't stay legal, well, you know, maybe not. But I like the idea of not having to poo in front of other men, because that's the jail experience right there. You know, there's a certain security and comfort in knowing that I can go to the bathroom, strip off all my clothes, sit on the toilet, and not have to worry about anyone coming in. You know?
Right. So, well, you know, I still got to have it, dude. I'll go to the bathroom at the house sometime, and I'll pull one leg out my pants. My lady's like, what are you doing? You know, yep. I mean, that's just a prison habit, bro. You got to have exactly one leg out, because somebody can sneak you while you're on the toilet. You got to be able to get up and fight. If you got both your pants legs on your ankle, you're in the bind.
You're exactly right. And you know, people may not know this, but yes, you do. There are people who get their asses beat while they're taking a shit. And there is nothing worse than being mid-turd and having some motherfucker jump you. I've not had it happen, but by God, I always dreaded it. Brother, I thank you for coming on. I'm going to get my ass down to Louisiana, and I want to have dinner with you and shoot the shit sometime. Yeah, all right.
Definitely, all right, man. When you come down here to South Carolina, we're going to, I don't know, I'm going to bring you to one of these seafood restaurants down here. I'm going to show y'all. Y'all ain't really got no seafood in Alabama.
Oh, I agree. We do not. You're absolutely right. We got Captain D's, and we know what that shit is. Yeah. And we got the filet of fish at McDonald's. That's what we get.
We're not doing that, Brett. We're not.
All right. Brother, I'm going to close the show out. Thank you so much for coming on, man. I absolutely love talking to you, man.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
All right. We're going to close this out. That is Monroe Myers. And if you want to know if you can turn your life around, if you want to know if you can do the right goddamn thing, you don't need to look any further than Monroe Myers. And that's the truth, because that man has done things right now. That man's turned his life around. He's living a good damn life. So, you know, if you ever wonder if you think that maybe you can't, let me tell you, you can. You can. But you, as Monroe pointed out, you have to make the choice to do that. No one can do that for you. My name is Brett Johnson. This is the Brett Johnson Show. We're going to close it out. How do we close it out? Same way every single time. Stay safe out there. Stay secure. Stay vigilant. More importantly, at the end of the day, just do the right damn thing. My name is Brett Johnson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time.